بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Tonight is the 13th of October in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we spent a few sessions taking a glimpse into the endless subject of character. And to mention before moving on, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ibn Hibban and Bayhaqi in Shu'ub al-Iman, he mentioned that when two brothers love each other, the brother who loves the other more, he is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. When two brothers love each other, the brother who loves his brother more, he is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a state of the heart. And Allah the Almighty in glorious notice, he favors and he showers the one who has more love for his brother than the other. And this is why I mentioned our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was Habibullah. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. He said, I am Habibullah, I am the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because nobody could love him more than he loves them. Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in a more famous report, in Tabarani is Hassan, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you are those who give the most benefit to others. The best of you are those that give the most benefit to others. So note, this is another way to gauge your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And note, it's not personal worship. It's interaction with your brothers and sisters. And if you benefit somebody more, Allah ta'ala blesses you more. So let us conclude this endless subsection with a few blessed narratives of the illustrious Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh. So first of all, who is this famous personality? So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, he is a Sayyid. He was a perfect Sayyid. So what do I mean perfect Sayyid? If your lineage goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are termed as a Sayyid. A perfect Sayyid is where the father and the mother, their lineages go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was a perfect Sayyid. His father and mother go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of the saints of their time, they had a dream. And it was a dream which they all experienced. And Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, his foot was on their necks. And they understood this to mean that he was going to become the Sheikh of Sheikhs, the saint of saints. So this is why in Urdu and in the Persian subcontinent, he's called Piran Pir. Piran Pir, that means the saint of saints. Which fiqh did he follow? Now why is that important to highlight? Because even awliyas follow fiqh. And fruitcakes don't. Think about that. If anybody could say, I don't need to follow a fiqh, it's going to be a saint. And yet every saint was either a Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi or Hanbali. Think about that. People who were the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was a Hanbali. He followed the Hanbali fiqh. And he was a faqih. He wrote many works on the Hanbali fiqh. Where did he live most his blessed life? It was in Iraq. So let's look at a few narratives about this blessed soul. In Al-Hada'iq fil Hada'iq, page 139, it is related. When his mother used to say Alhamdulillah after sneezing, he would reply from the womb by saying, Yarhamukillah. So even before he's born, imagine, mother, rahmatullah alayha, herself a sayyida. She sneezes. So what do you say when you sneeze? Alhamdulillah. He's not even born and he's saying from the womb, Yarhamukillah. May Allah have mercy upon you, oh my dear mother. Also, the Honorable Sheikh, when was he born? He was born on the 1st of Ramadan. Sheikh Al-Shatanawfi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Bahjat Al-Asrar, page 172, it mentions. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, he kept the first fast on the day he was born. He did not feed on his mother's milk until Maghrib. Indeed, he kept all the fasts of the month of Ramadan. So he was basically fasting from zero, not even one. He wasn't even 1 year old, zero. So when you say, when did you start fasting, dear child? Which child will say, when I was born? Right? Now, why is this fascinating? Because Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, there was an ikhtilaf at the time. Some said Ramadan has started. Others said, no, it's not Ramadan, we haven't seen the moon. The Imam's birth put an end to it because he was fasting. He was another last sentence of science. Think about that. So he's actually got rid of the ikhtilaf because today is Ramadan. So he was born in the month in which the gates of paradise were open. The gates of hell were closed and the shaitans were chained up. The great Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh. So he was a saint by birth. Think about that. Some saints, they come to their prominence as they get older. But Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was a saint by birth. Rahmatullah alayh. In Tafrih al-Khatir, page 43, it mentions, once in Baghdad, plague broke out. And the people started to succumb from the plague. The people thereupon rushed to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, and they asked him to help. He said to them, eat the grass of the fields around my madrasa and drink the water from my well. Inshallah, you will be cured of every disease. The grass and the water from the well thus began to cure the people to such an extent that the plague set off from Baghdad completely. It never broke out again. So let's look at this. So he was in Baghdad. That was the capital of the Islamic State. Many famous scholars came from there. For instance, Junayd al-Baghdadi, the great saint, rahmatullah alayh. So it mentions that there was a plague. People were dying from this plague. Was it COVID? God knows, right? But people were dying from the plague. So they rushed to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. And what did he say? Something very strange. You know, people think it was very strange what he said. He goes, eat the grass of the fields around my madrasa, where I teach. Eat the herbage. Drink the water from my well. Inshallah. Every disease you'll be cured from. And what happened? They started doing this and people were getting cured left, right and center. And the plague completely left the city of Baghdad. On another occasion, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, whoever merely walks past my madrasa, then his torment will be curtailed on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Whoever merely walks past my madrasa, then his torment will be curtailed on the day of judgment. Recorded by Hafiz Sha'rani, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Tabaqat al-Kubra, page 179. So why did he keep mentioning his madrasa? Because that is where people sacrifice their time, their lives to learn about the deen. And he was the head sheikh. And he was saying that, Allah Ta'ala, I can see so much blessings coming on the madrasa that they shafa. And he goes, even if you are in trouble on the day of judgment, if you just walk past my madrasa, your torment will be reduced or even prevented. Look at all these holy places that people are totally, you know, oblivious to. Indeed, the Sheikh's madrasa was truly blessed. For instance, Sheikh Al-Shatanawfi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Bahjat Al-Asrar, page 194, it mentions, once a grieving young man, so the key point is he's a young man and he's grieving. A grieving young man came to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, and he said with grief, dear Sheikh, last night I saw my late father in a dream and he told me, oh my son, I am being punished in my grave. please present yourself in the court of Ghawth-e Adam and ask him to make a dua for me. So stop in the report. So the son's obviously distraught. His father's told him, I'm getting punished. And he goes, go to Ghawth-e Adam. That means the one, the great helper. Go to Imam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Ask him to make a dua. Upon hearing this, the Sheikh asked, did your father ever walk past my madrasa? So the son, wiping his tears, he said, yes. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani remained silent. He didn't say anything else. And the young man returned, went back to his dwelling. The following day, the young man now, his face is shining happily. He returns and says, dear Sheikh, I have now seen my father again. But this time he was wearing a green garment and he was exuding happiness. He said to me, with the dua of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, the torment of the grave has been terminated. And I also have been granted this green garment. Oh my dear son, remain in service to Ghawth-e Azam, rahmatullah alayh. Hearing this, the Shaykh replied, my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala promised me that the punishment of a Muslim who walks past my madrasa will be reduced. So look at these incredible reports mentioned in the authoritative works of history. So what's happening? Man comes and he goes, has he ever walked past my madrasa? Now what's interesting about that? That doesn't mean you won't get punished. It means the punishment will eventually be taken away. Not only was the punishment stopped, he was then successful. And not because of anything except walking past the madrasa. But he has to be a Muslim. And this is why he should go there, in Baghdad. His madrasa is there to this very day. His maqam. And yeah, people think of Baghdad. What do they think of? Ali Baba and the 40 thieves, right? Ali Baba and the 40 thieves. Right? Also Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, his maqam is there. Rahmatullah alayhi, it's a very holy place. Because when you talk about Iraq, normally you talk fitna, fasad, you know, it's fitna, bombs going off, suicide, bombings, this, that, khawarij, rawafid. But didn't the Sahaba go there? Wasn't the Khilafat there? Weren't the great ulama and awliya there? So despite all that, there's still blessed places you can go. And it's certainly worth the investment to go there. Another report, Sheikh Al-Shatanoufi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Bahjad Al-Asrar, page 193, Sheikh Yahya Al-Tadifi, in his Qalaid Al-Jawahid, page 147, it mentions, a disciple of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh, once had 70 wet dreams, with a number of different women in a single night. So stop in the report. So this was a murid, somebody who's given bayah to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. And imagine, you know, human beings, you know, you have these dreams. And the dream is from shaitan. A wet dream is from shaitan, so I don't think it's a good thing. Some people look forward to it. You're looking forward to shaitan coming to you, astaghfirullah. And this murid, 70 women, one dream. So he has the bath in the morning and he goes to the Sheikh and he's embarrassed. He's thinking, oh, am I going to tell the Sheikh this? Right, but he plucks his courage up, just about to speak, and subhanallah, before he said anything, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, don't worry about last night. I had a glance at the Lohim Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, and you were destined to commit zina with 70 different women. I therefore made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your destiny, to save you from that. As a result, those incidents relayed in the form of wet dreams, i.e. for which you are not even now accountable. Because don't worry about it. And the disciple is, can you imagine it? I didn't even mention it. How did he know? Right? And this is why the bayah is so powerful. When you get a righteous person, look how they're looking after their murids, genuine ones, obviously. You know, we know about the, you know, cowboys and Indians, right? But the genuine ones. Now, what does it mean? He looked at the Lohim Mahfuz. What's going on there? The Lohim Mahfuz is the preserved tablet where everything is written, nothing changes. It's written in stone, like you say. So that was written for that man. he was going to commit 70 zinas. So did that change? It changed to the lightest type of zina, where you're not accountable, but still there. And that was because of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. And in one night, imagine not, you know, 70 nights. He just got, because it's gone now, don't worry about it. Subhanallah. Thus to reiterate, what did our beloved messenger say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day with an upright imam is preferable to 60 years of a man worshipping alone. Subhanallah. One day with an upright imam is preferable to 60 years of a man worshipping alone. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir 11-337, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 8-162. So obviously this was one of the great souls of our history. And there's many famous incidents about it. One famous incident, Mutawatir. Mutawatir in the sense that so many people narrated it, it can't be a lie. He used to wear a black turban. And somebody told this youngster that he can actually see the states of the human being. So if you are a treacherous person, he would see you in the form of a hyena. If you was, you know, a slippery person, you know, he'd see you as a snake. So what happened, this youngster, you know, fascinated by these, you know, isn't it true? You get fascinated. So he's thinking, I wonder if I can have a little, you know, nibble at this. So he goes to the sheikh. He goes, "Sheikh, I've heard that you can see things." He goes, "What can I see, dear youngster?" He goes, "You see people in their true form. Is that true?" So, to cut a long narrative short, first, the imam told him not to ask about these things, but the youngster persisted. Eventually, he said, "Okay, yes, I can." So the youngster then says, "Can you make it possible that I can also see this?" So the sheikh told him, "You shouldn't ask for this." And then he goes, and he's begging him, like a child does to the parent. "No, no, please, sheikh, sheikh, please, just, you know, for the moment, for the moment." So the sheikh then said, okay, but listen very carefully. Prepare yourself. I'm going to take my turban off. I'm going to place it on your head. Don't worry." He goes, "Just be strong." So what happened? He took his blessed turban off. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayh. He said to the youngster, "Bismillah." He put it on his head. He goes into shock. You know, like electrocution. Right? Eventually, so immediately the sheikh takes the turban off, sprinkles some water on him, eventually starts breathing again. He comes around. So the people are, you know, thinking, "What did he see? What did he see?" So when he came around, they asked him, "What did you see?" He goes, "Oh my God." He goes, "Sheikh, all I saw was animals." And then he goes, "Except you." He goes, "You was the same." So what was he telling him? "Even the marids, there's illnesses in them. But you," he goes, "you were insan." And then the sheikh just smiles. He goes, "It's okay, alhamdulillah." So think about it. When he's actually talking, he's seeing a hyena. But he's not telling that to the person. He's just talking to him, you know, with muhabbat. In his heart, "Ya Allah, give him understanding. He doesn't know what he's doing." Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let me ask you a question. Then what about Rasulullah? What did he see? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, people don't realize when you go into the presence of the prophets, you know, what's actually happening. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So when you go into the presence of the righteous, you have to prepare. And this is why the ulama mentioned that you have a bath, you put on your best clothing, you get as much sunnah as you can into your exterior, you do tawbah, you do salat al-Nabi, and then you approach. And then you ask the sheikh for forgiveness. That's one of the adabs. Why do you ask him for forgiveness? Because, you know, imagine what you're showing to him in it. Astaghfirullah. So another example of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani is that he brought somebody back to life. Somebody asked, because is that true? And then he says, "Why do you ask these questions?" And eventually they asked him, and he goes, "Okay." And he goes, "Why?" Because where do you want to? And they took him to the graveyard. He makes a dua. Somebody came out of the grave, testified, went back to the grave. So dead literally came out of the grave. Another mutawatir report mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Qadir. And miracles were happening all the time with him. The great Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. The only thing about the sheikh is that he did what many of the shuyukh did in their lives. They went on hijrah. They left the people. He, like Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, he went on, he went into his solitude. Spent many years. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani did the same. Many years he traveled. And he was so pure that obviously he was the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one last thing about the Shaykh to mention is that there was a fire that broke out in Baghdad. And people came running. One person comes running to him. He goes, "Shaykh, there's a fire and your dwelling's been burned." So the Shaykh put his hand on his heart. And he goes, "Alhamdulillah." And then what happened? Time passed. Either the same person or another person came running. He goes, "Good news, Shaykh, good news. It wasn't your house. The fire was another house." So the Shaykh put his hand on his heart. He goes, "Alhamdulillah." So then the people queried, they go, "Shaykh," he goes, "why did you react the same? When your house was burned, you said Alhamdulillah. When your house wasn't burned, you said Alhamdulillah." So Imam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani, rahmatullah alayh, he said, he goes, "when my house was burnt, I put my hand on my heart to think, has it affected me? And it didn't. Wasn't bothered about it. So I was Alhamdulillah." And then he goes, "when the news came, it wasn't my house. I put my hand on my heart and I asked myself the question, are you happy it wasn't your house? He wasn't bothered about it. Alhamdulillah." So basically, he was always in a state of gratitude. Always. That's what that means. Shukr. Sabr and shukr. Right? So again, these are the states of the awliya. And the reason I mentioned a little bit about him is, when you talk about character, these were the pinnacles. They went through the spiritual struggles. They got to the highest levels, and then Allah Ta'ala made them His dear and near ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the blessed Shaykh and forgive us all for His honorable sake. Ameen. And it's a fabrication, I'll mention it. The fabrication mentions that initially he was a Hanafi. And then he became a Hanbali. And then somebody asked him, because why did you become a Hanbali? And he goes, "I had a dream. And somebody told me that the Hanbali fiqh is dying out. So become a Hanbali." So when you look at this, you hear this fabrication. He was always a Hanbali, right? Hanbali fiqh never died out. So what's happening here is, you get people who are trying to attribute themselves to him with excessive love. So the overzealous Hanafis, they want him to be a Hanafi. Right? But he was a Hanbali, alhamdulillah, mashallah, may Allah bless him. So, to make a start on the next section, reflections on death and the afterlife. So, we'll be spending quite a few sessions on this. And the reason is, this is what it's all about. This is the end game. So, let's talk about dunya. Shaykh Makki in his Qut al-Qulub 1-32, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 85 of the English translation, it mentions, a man once asked, "Oh my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me the world as you see it." That was his dua. If I was to ask you, is there anything wrong with that dua? I would say no. He's made a dua. "Oh my Lord, show me the world as you see it." He made a mistake. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never say it like this, but rather make this dua. "Show me the world as you have shown it to the upright amongst your servants." So this is the hadith. So let's break it down. So what mistake did this companion make, radiallahu? His mistake was, he was asking Allah the Almighty and Glorious, "Show me the dunya as you see the dunya." Have you understood the mistake? Why? Because if he was shown it as Allah Ta'ala sees it, what are you going to see? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never say that. "Show me the world as you have shown it to the Salihin." This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He goes, "Oh Lord, show me the world as the righteous look at the world." Imam Ghazali explained, rahmatullah alayhi, the world has absolutely no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to us, it has benefit. Hence, if his initial dua was answered, he would literally see something which was absolutely worthless. So what would happen? He'd go into error because he's thinking there's nothing good in this world. Have you understood? Right? So no, sometimes shaitan puts these whispers into you. Make this dua. And you've made an incorrect dua. You don't even realize. And if that dua was answered, he would totally abandon the world. Totally. So which famous hadith indicates that the world is worth nothing? The hadith is in Tirmidhi, Hasan, Sahih, Ghareeb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if the world was worth the wing of a mosquito in the sight of your Lord, he would not have given a sip of water to the unbeliever. If the world was worth the wing of a mosquito in the sight of your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not have given a sip of water to the unbeliever. So let me ask you a question. Do the unbelievers drink? Of course they do. So what does that hadith mean then? The hadith then, that means that the world hasn't even got the worth of the wing of a mosquito. Because if he had that value, what would happen? See, people narrate hadith, they don't think about these hadiths. But you understand the hadith? Well, I narrated it, but now you couldn't think of it. No, I didn't, just narrating, rattling it out. So if suddenly, you know, Allah Ta'ala in his sight is worth the wing of a mosquito, it suddenly has that worth. Let me ask you a question. What's the wing of a mosquito worth? You know, you go to a guy, look, brother, you know, give me something for it. What? Look, wing of a mosquito, innit? Right? Is he, what's he going to give you? Give you a slap? He goes, no, please, just give me something. Then I have compassion in my thing. Oh, yeah, yeah, then. But he still doesn't consider it to be worth anything. But imagine it had value. If suddenly, magic wand, suddenly the world had that value, this is what would happen to the unbelievers. Their water supply would be cut off. Meaning what? Allah Ta'ala gives to the unbelievers because the world has no value. If you are yearning for the world, you've got a trait of the kafir. That's what it means. We're drowning in it, brother. Forget about, you know, yearning for it. Doing backstroke, front stroke, kata crawl, everything. Right? And somebody goes, to you, brother, my iman's weak. Strange, isn't it? You know? Indeed, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ibn Asakir, when Allah the Almighty created the world, he said to it while swearing an oath by his honor, I have not created you, but for the worst of my creation. Astaghfirullah. So imagine he created the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did create it a couple of billion years ago. That's what they're saying. Latest estimates in it. When he created it, this is his reaction, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear qasam, my izzat, I swear by my izzat, you are for the worst of my creation. I've only created you for the scum of my creation. Meaning, you don't have any value in my sight. And people have fallen in love with it. Imagine that one, isn't it? Do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Very interesting question. If you ask, of course I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think. Okay, can't say no, can I? Because I do love him, but yeah, that's more like it. You do love him, but it's problems. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, in Tirmidhi Hasan Sahih, he saw a dead goat, dead goat, or a lamb, stunk, flies around it. The Prophet stopped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the questions he's asking. First question, atom bomb, he asks, what is this goat worth to any of you? So they looked. They go, Ya Rasulullah, it's not worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Prophet's second atom bomb question. Which one of you would take it? So they thought, why would we take it, Ya Rasulullah? Third atom bomb statement. The Prophet then said, I swear by the one who sent me with the truth, the world is worth less than this goat is in your sight. Let's go back now. Rewind the three things. What's the first question the Prophet asked? What is this goat worth to you? What was their own testimony? Sahaba. Worth nothing. Worthless. Go back to the answer. It's worth less. The world is worth less than this goat is to you. But they said it's not worth anything. So in English, it doesn't make sense. If somebody goes, this doesn't, it has no value in my sight, that is not enough. It has to be worse than that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you talk about the world. But then Imam Ibn Qayyim said something very interesting. He said, then what about the one who loves the world? How low is he? We're not talking about the goat, no? We're talking about an ashik. These ashiks, you know, plenty of them are behind there. Somebody goes, hang on a minute. If the world is worth less than this dead goat is to you, then what about the one who loves the goat? Well, I don't know, you know how far down you got to go in it. Right? But these are statements of the Prophet. So what was he telling the Sahaba? This world is worth nothing. Worth nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't get lost in it. And last report. Hasan al-Basri, he said, rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri, wa zuhdu wa mawa'idhu, the Beacon of Basra, page 57 of the English translation, he said, the human roams between three states, because you're always in these three conditions. There's no fourth. You are A, the number one, in an adversity which is about to arrive. It's coming. Tidal wave's coming. Get ready for it. That's one condition you're in. Or, you're enjoying a passing blessing. It's going sweet. Is it? It's coming, mother. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. Right? Passing blessing. Or number three, fatal death. Because the human roams about in these three states. From one, like you say, he's not from pillar to post. So one is, he's in deluded state. He thinks, sweet, everything's going sweet. It's coming, brother, it's coming, no, brother, it's coming. Second one, he's actually being hit. Thirdly, death has struck him. So what was Hasan al-Basri talking about? He's talking about dunya. He said, are you in love with this? This reality. Look at all the realities you're thinking, I don't want any of them. Tough luck, mate. It's going to be one of them, innit? The most easiest is the passing blessing. But even then you're thinking, oh my God, it's coming. Could be around the corner. Right? Can't just come enough, right? He goes, Ya Allah, please protect my iman. And then what happens? Tidal wave comes next minute. You see the guy. What's happened, brother? Oh my God. You don't know what happened, right? But then they go, he came, he told you that. Hasan al-Basri told you about it. You're waiting for it. So who is the only one who's safe? The one who leaves. As long as you're here, you're in trouble. You're only safe if you leave. As the saying goes, being knocked from pillar to post, or in Pushto, takidekhuri. That's what we say. De takidekhuri. Very interesting word they use in Pushto. And in English, look how interesting he's saying. He's being knocked from pillar to post. That's got a lot of meaning to that. You know, what does that mean? Pillars and posts, yeah, you're not from there to there. One minute he's laughing, next minute he's crying. Next minute he's depressed. Next minute he's over the moon. This is dunya. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions that in Surah Najm. He goes, He changes you from laughter to tears. It's true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, the one who weeps for the fear of his Lord, he will laugh in the uppermost part of paradise. So sometimes it's good to weep, but that's out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah promises, I'm going to convert that into happiness. But if all you've known is happiness, what's left? Astaghfirullah. So all I mentioned today was basically a very short brief on the great Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani to wrap up the section on character. Pirani Pir, the saint of saints, rahmatullah alayh. And then I've now started the subject with regards to death and the afterlife, which we'll spend probably a few weeks on to wake us up. And when you hear the reports, it does shake you. Why? Because people don't like talking about the reality. They like being living in deluded states. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask?
What's the difference between the miracles of the prophets and the miracles of the saints?
MashaAllah. So in Arabic, the miracle of the prophets are called mu'jiza. And these are called the signs that Allah Ta'ala has given them as a veracity of the proof of their prophethood. A karama is the miracle of the saints. The karamat is only an extension of the proof of the mu'jiza. So every karama that's taken place and will take place are actually an extension of the mu'jiza of Rasulullah. It's a proof of Rasulullah. So they're not actually separate. So even though there's probably millions, if not billions of karamats, they're actually a further extension of the miracles of Rasulullah to prove the veracity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's another which is not a miracle. And there's a word for it which escapes me. And Dajjal will have it. And outwardly, it looks like a miracle. He'll bring the dead to life. He'll show you paradise and hell. But that is cursed. And how do you differentiate between the two? You look at the individual. If the person is following the Shariat 100%, then it's a karamat. But if you know he's not, this is why Imam Shafi said something very interesting, rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, if you see a man flying, imagine flying, walking over water, and he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is not a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, that's not the miracle. The miracle is he's following the Shariat. And that's why you gauge. So sometimes you'll hear stories, a Hindu has done this, a Peer Sahib has done this, and then you actually look into it, thinking he's breaking every commandment on the book. That's not a miracle, that's a fitna. So again, it's very important to differentiate between the two. And another thing which I think is worth mentioning, why were this more karamat of the awliya than the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Many answers the scholars give. One answer is, Rasulullah himself was the sign sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran was his greatest miracle. So no miracle can stand the Quran. Secondly, the Sahaba did not have many miracles. There were quite a few, but compared to the awliya, it's like drops. And the reason is, karamat are needed sometimes by the awliya. They're not needed by the Sahaba. The Sahaba were so strong, they weren't bothered. It didn't affect them in the least. But those who are weaker, they need this. Allah Ta'ala gives it as a gift to further elevate and strengthen them. So again, we believe in this, and it's part of our aqidah as well. Very important to understand that you can't deny the karamat of the awliya. If you do, some ulama said it takes you out of the fold of Islam. Right? So again, you know, we absolutely believe this, but it's important to distinguish between who is actually is manifesting from. You know, subhanAllah. Any other questions or comments? سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل الحق والواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم